Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all you heroes, hawks, heralds, crows, pirates, and wardens. Welcome to the Dragon Age Lorecast, where we unpack, discuss, and galaxy brain about all the lore behind the Dragon Age series.
We are so excited to bring you this podcast. Every episode, we'll be talking about a different topic in the Dragon Age universe. From character deep dives to exalted marches and elven gods, we will cover it all.
There will be spoilers. And always remember, swooping is bad.
Hello and welcome to the Dragon Age Lorecast. We are here to talk about Dragon Age and its lore. I'm one of your hosts, Austin, also known as Teacup.
And I'm your other host, Shelby or SheCup.
And we are here to talk about more creatures. And it's going to get kind of hot and sandy and dry in the chat today in the podcast episode.
Yeah, and it's also going to get dangerous because all of these creatures will and can kill you. So there's that. So basically we're going to the Australia of Thedas is what I've kind of nicknamed this episode, because we are going to the Western approach. We are covering four different creatures, all of which do come from the Western approach, all of which will attack you. So, yeah.
The Western approach looks like it could kill you, will kill you.
It will kill you. Yeah, for sure. There's no cinnamon roll. Like, mm-hmm. Doesn't look like a cinnamon roll. It is. Yeah, it will kill you. Anyway, so we're covering the Gurn, the Phoenix, the Quillback, and the Varghest. Only one of these creatures, I believe, has any kind of like other kind of any other kind of lore in other fandoms, other universes, and that would be the Phoenix.
And they're not related.
Not at all. Which we'll get into later. Okay, let's just dive right in because I don't have fun facts since we're covering like literally 1,000 creatures. So we're going to just dive into the Gurn, which I think is a funny name personally, but basically the Gurn is a very large, very like rhinoceros bronto-esque creature, and they are huge. They have very, very thick hides and they're super aggressive. You can pretty much find them anywhere in the Western approach. And also in the Forgotten Oasis, pretty much anywhere in Western Orlais. They are usually gray to brown in color, and they have very sharp horns and pointy ridges along their back that almost look like mountain ranges. So, anything that you have to add about the Gurn before I dive into the Codex?
Just that they are very similar to Brontos, except they are mean.
Brontos can also be mean, but not like unprovoked. The Gurn will unprovoked be mean to you. So there's that. But just an interesting, I actually have two interesting quotes from the same codex. So I'll just read them back to back and then we can talk about it. So the codex says this: harmless, so long as you don't treat them like cattle. Maybe farm raised, but not wild. One time we figured we'd saddle one. Maybe we could break it like a horse. Because that hump the hump they have on their back, would bounce arrows real nice. Bad idea. Did not end well for Five Toe. We used to call him Six Toe, but not because of his feet. He got the horn something fierce. So that's not good. Secondly, second quote is, we woke to a herd from nowhere just standing around the camp. And it wasn't the first time. Getting water at an oasis, humming to myself, poof, there's just one behind me. Talk to another rider for a few minutes, and then there's two just staring. I think they think talking is weird. So the things that I take away from this codex is that the Gurn, in addition to being aggressive, in addition to being mean, in addition to traveling in herds, they are silent but deadly. Like, they will sneak up on you, which I think for an animal that size is pretty terrifying.
Right. My takeaway has nothing to do with the Gurn. I just want to know who Six Toe, Five Toe is. Is that a dwarf? Is it a person?
Well, it has to be a dwarf because dwarves have six toes.
I guess that's true.
So it's definitely a dwarf of some kind.
Yeah. So, you know, in the Discord this past week, someone asked the question of, like, who are these, like, minor NPCs that you think about? Five Toe is going to be one for me.
Okay, well, I don't even think you can classify Five Toe as a minor NPC since we've literally never seen them outside of a codex entry. So just there, first thing. Second of all, okay. do you have any other final thoughts about the Gurn before we move on to the Phoenix?
Just if it looks like a rhino, just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great, great advice right there. So let's get into the Phoenix a little bit. Like the Gurn, the Phoenix is also a large, aggressive creature found in the western desert area of Orlais. Note, I want to make it clear, this creature is very different from the mythical Phoenix that you might find in other fantasy settings. The Dragon Age Phoenix is dinosaur and bird-like. It doesn't have feathers and it doesn't really fly. So the mythical Phoenix, you know, is more bird-like. It does have feathers. It can fly. It's magical, multicolored sometimes. So these are pretty different creatures. Now, in Dragon Age lore, the Phoenix is well known for their aggression and for their bite. They have a very fierce bite. So, similar to the Wyvern, the Phoenix can be consumed for its meat, but about half of their organs are, quote, poisonous enough to liquefy your lungs. So, consuming them isn't typically done, nor is it encouraged.
Dragon Age character most likely to have consumed Phoenix.
I want to say Ogryn, just for shits and giggles.
I know, that's my gut, too. Ogryn.
Yeah, I mean, Ogryn is the man that drank the entire joining goblet, so I don't put anything past him, frankly.
Fair. I think that's our decision. Okay, yeah.
Okay, so anyway.
Fanon, Ogryn means Phoenix meat.
Okay, moving on. So the Phoenix, I think, is a little bit more notable than the Gurn because it actually does play a role in a quest in Dragon Age Inquisition. It is featured in the How to Lure a Dragon quest, which also features the one and only Frederick of Sirault. And so he asks you to acquire bait for the high dragon, and one of the bait options that he wants is a phoenix tail feather. So the only way you can really get that is if you kill the phoenix. So it does have a role in a quest. It's not just background scenery. But again, I did bring a quote from the codex to kind of round us out with the phoenix. This codex is actually from In Pursuit of Knowledge, The Travels of a Chantry Scholar by the one and only Brother Ferdinand Genetivi. And this is the excerpt. Orlesians believe the phoenix to be a herald of woe, perhaps because the creatures frequent inhospitable places where sane travelers fear to tread. It may also be because they belch a sort of sulfurous gas that reeks of rotten eggs and ancient peat bog, and flocks of the beasts have a pervasive odor of death about them. Orlesians are not always so metaphorical as they like us to believe.
I just like Genevieve's shade on the Orlesians.
I know, right? He's like, they're not that clever. Don't let them fool you.
Let's think about the Western approach for a minute. So part of the quest in that, and like your need to get to the fort, even in the Western approach to conquer it, there's like that weird gas thing that you have to clear through a war table operation.
Yeah.
That's Phoenix.
Are you joking?
No, I think that's what it is, because you can encounter phoenixes around there, and the Abyssal High Dragon flies up out of that.
Yeah, but I don't think it actually verified comes from the phoenix.
Maybe. I just think that's an interesting connection in that.
I'm looking it up. Yeah, okay. It's just the name of the quest is Crossing the Sulfur Pits. So I don't personally think that area is, that it comes from the Phoenix, but like, I agree with you that the presence of sulfuric smelling gases in the Phoenix and present in the area that they come from is too much of a coincidence to ignore. But I don't think that the sulfur pit, it comes from the Phoenix. I would argue it would probably be the other way around.
That makes sense.
You're just mad I bursted your bubble.
Yeah, I had a funny joke and you just had to ruin it.
I'm sorry. I just wanted it to be lore accurate. Okay. Anyway, so I think now would be a good time for us to go to the midbreak.
All right, let's do it.
What makes your ram so special?
Well, he's always brought the family luck, and his advice helped us make our fortune.
Your ram offered advice.
How do you get your hair to do that, Dorian? With magic?
With proper hygiene and grooming. Maybe all three of you should get acquainted.
Kirkwall's not brown enough for me. But hey, no darkspawn.
Ferelden wasn't that brown. The dirt and muck gave it character.
So welcome to the middle of the show, where we take a moment to thank our patrons. So thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you to our first patrons, Lisa M. and Genesis. Thank you to our Nug King patron, Lewis H. His name is Lewis. Thank you, Lewis, for your support. Join the Patreon. Don't want to miss out on December's patron chat. And in 2024, we will have new merch coming. And so if you want that, you need to go on Patreon and sign up. Get some awesome stickers and other merch. If you can't support us on Patreon, totally get that. Know that that's not for everybody. But you can leave us ratings and reviews on Apple and Spotify and help us by letting other people know that you think this is a great show. And if you leave us 5 stars and some kind words on Apple or a comment on Spotify, we will read it out on a future episode of the show. We are caught up, so we do not have any reviews to read today. So go leave us some reviews and we'll read it out. You can also come and hang out with us on Discord on the Cups Podcasting and More Discord server. That link is found in the episode description. Come hang out with us, talk about Dragon Age, talk about a bunch of other stuff. It's a great community. It's a great place on the internet. Just come and hang out. But it's also a place to participate in our Dragon Age Day giveaway. We will be giving away t-shirts and a fancy statue that you'll have to go look and see. I think we're also going to give away one of the Dragon Age cookbooks and much, much more.
Yeah, we're also giving away a copy of Tevinter Nights and some Lorecast merch that you can't get anywhere else. And just, it's going to be a great time, so you don't want to miss it. And that's, honestly, that's just the beginning of what we're doing for Dragon Age Day. So you don't want to miss it. Come join the Discord server.
Yeah. And can you only see that giveaway on the Discord server?
For now, it'll go live to the public later, later in November, but right now it's just in the Discord server.
Right. And I think you get an entry for joining the Discord server. Do you?
Yes, you do.
All right. Well, that's all I got for the middle of the show.
All right. Well, let's get back into it.
Have a care where your eyes linger, Alistair.
Yes, well, don't worry. It's not what you think.
I see.
I was looking at your nose.
And what is it about my nose that captivates you so?
I was just thinking that it looks exactly like your mother's.
I hate you so much.
I was one of the crows you hired to kill the Grey Wardens.
I thought you looked familiar.
Well, I just wanted to report that I failed my mission, Loghain.
You don't say.
I'm terribly broken up over it.
Hmm. Well, thank you kindly for informing me.
Oh, you fear barbarians will swoop down upon you.
Yes, swooping is bad.
Okay, so our next interesting little creature is the Quillback. Now, again, yet again, we have another creature from Western Orlais who wants to kill us. Yay! This one's weird because simultaneously, this creature, it has inexplicably the nose of a pig and the beak of a bird at the same time. It also has four legs. So I don't really know how to describe it. All I can tell you is to just Google Quillback. The picture will speak for itself if you can't remember what it looks like. Anyway, it is usually burgundy in color, and it does have feathers protruding from like its back ridge of its back. So this one's a weird looking one. I feel like this is the weirdest looking creature in most of Dragon Age. But anyway, so like the Phoenix, the Quillback does make an appearance in the How to Lure a Dragon quest, as again, Frederick wants Quillback intestine to use to bait the High Dragon with. So this one also makes appearance in that quest. And then I have a really long codex entry, but it pays off at the end because it's funny. So I'm just going to read it all. And this one is the Quillback Codex, and it's a journal entry, and it has two entries, one from one person and the second from another person. So this is what the first one says, and it comes from An Anatomy of Various Terrible Beasts by Baron Havard Pierre de Mortizan. Those men of learning who claim dominion over the cold, weirdly angled laws of this world would deny that unutterable savagery of nature, conjuring their knowledge as a man in repose draws a blanket over himself, somnolent to distract from cognizant mind the lethargic callignosity of this world. Such mendacity is made manifest in the Quillback. Its hooked beak describes a smile that makes mock of the laws of man and maker, and in the sagging folds of its rough and squamous hide lies no elegant simplicity. But look upon its dorsal ridge for the proof, if logic be your refuge, for in the ebon spines that jut uncaringly from its back, no man of learning can fail to see the cold and twisted spires of the black city itself. What maker would give mock to our ebullient transgressions by marking his domicile into the flesh of this repugnant eater of flesh, this scavenger of wastes and deserts? What message can any man read in this carrion feeder's decrepit spines than that the golden city of which we dream is black, always black, the swollen infection poisoned from time beyond the knowledge of our insignificant minds, awaiting only our unheeding touch to afflict us with understanding of our true place in this vast, uncaring world. End quote. And then the second journal entry is from the Baron's scribe Dunwich, who just says, "Master means it's pointy."
Listen, scribe. There's something called poetic license.
There's also something called being unnecessarily wordy and pretentious, which the Baron has also mastered.
Yes. In that first paragraph, you got done, and I wanted to say I understood like three words.
I know. I'm a writer for like my real job, and I don't even know what all of those words mean. Like, I don't even know if I pronounced Calignosity correctly. I don't know what that means. I know what the most of the rest of the words mean, but that one threw me for a loop. So, and I, they could have made it up. I don't know. But yeah, unnecessarily wordy is for sure the name of the game on that one.
The good old Baron must have been smoking some elf fruit and having some sort of existential crisis about the Black City.
I know. That was so funny. It's like he really went off on that one. But okay. But like, to be fair, he does make an interesting point that like, what maker that says they're good would make fun of his plight and our plight by putting an image of the Black City in this weird ass vulture creature, their spikes on their spine. Like, good point. Interesting. I would rather not think about that ever again.
Look, all I know, and this is my biggest gripe with Dragon Age Inquisition in general, the enemies have way too much health.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much. It takes you so long, even on like casual difficulty, to kill something.
I mean, like, and not the interesting thing is like that does not even apply to the humans or like the people that you fight. For the most part, there are some that are like, oh, why do you have so much health? But mostly it's the animals. Like, why are they so freaking double cheeked up?
Exactly. And the Quillback is a perfect example of this. Like, it took me probably like 15 minutes one time to kill one Quillback.
That's insane. I feel like the Gurn is worse, personally.
Well, because the Gurn can get guard.
True. And the ones that we're going to talk about in our next episode are even worse, I feel like.
Oh, really?
The Snowflur.
Oh, yeah.
The Tusket. Do you remember these?
I do.
Yeah. Anyway, so do you have any final thoughts about the Quillback?
No, other than stop making things with so much health.
Fair. All right. Well, let's get into our last creature of today before we talk about our side character. So our last creature for today is the Varghest. And again, in our fourth and final creature, by this point, you can probably say it with me. We have yet another aggressive creature found in the deserts of Western Orlais. This is the Varghest, which is a dragon-esque creature that is, it is actually a relative of both the dragon and the wyvern. So it is a long, scaly, and feathery creature with very sharp teeth and very sharp claws. You can find them primarily in the Western Approach and in the Hissing Wastes. And other than the Codex, like, that's all we know about them. It is one we really don't know much about. So let me get into the Codex entry, and then we can jump, into our side character. So the Codex entry for the Varghest is actually an excerpt from A Study of the Southern Draconids by Frederick of Sérault, and it is published by the University of Orlais. And this is what it says. The Varghest is now known to be a distant relative of wyverns and dragons, but in ancient times, it was believed to be a spirit manifest in the world. Syrian legend says that the Varghest hunts those who have committed great wrongs against their own kin. And when the creature finds its quarry, it drags the guilty party to the gods for judgment. This is perhaps due to the beast's hunting habits. Varghest prefer to bring prey still living to their nest to feed their young. End quote.
Wouldn't it have just been like such a good circular moment if like Mathorath was killed by a Varghest?
That's fair. Who knows if that legend would have developed though, if that had been the case.
True. I guess that's true.
But anyway, so that's the Varghest. Before we get into our side character, do you have any thoughts about any of the creatures, or just like overarching thoughts about all of the creatures that we've discussed today?
There's so much Why do so many things try to kill you in Thedas? Like, I know it's a video game, but, like, I don't think I would ever want to live in Thedas. Like, Middle Earth, absolutely, sure, would go and live there. You know, some other fantasy worlds, like, even Tamriel, like, I would go and live in Skyrim or Tamriel or something like that. But, like, everything, everywhere in Dragon Age, if you ain't killed by some random creature, you're probably going to be killed by Darkspawn.
I mean, that's fair, but I do think it'd be pretty nice to live in Antiva.
Yeah, but Antiva, again, you never know if something you eat or drink is just going to be poisonous because you pissed off some noble who hired the crows to come get you.
Look, if I'm living in Antiva, here's the deal. Here's the deal. My days are not going to be spent messing around with nobles. My days are not going to be spent working for somebody. My days are going to be spent relaxing, drinking wine, sitting on the beach, eating some good food. Like, I am not getting involved in the drama. It's going to be an extended vacation. That is the only way. We have unlimited money also. Okay. Is the only way.
All right. That's all I got.
Okay, great. Well, then let's get into our side character for the day, who is, we've mentioned him already, Frederick of Serrault, none other. He is an infamous academic that you can find in the Western Approach in Dragon Age Inquisition. And now, if you don't know, Frederick of Serrault is actually a renowned, like the top professor of Draconology at the University of Orlais. And like his name suggests, he originally hails from the town of Serrault in Orlais. Yes.
Why is he infamous?
Because... have you ever met him in the game?
Yeah, many times.
You don't think he's infamous?
I mean, maybe. I could say he's just more famous and a little eccentric.
A little eccentric? I feel like he's so eccentric. Like, he's the definition of eccentric.
Yeah, okay.
He can just be famous. That's fine. Okay. I love Frederick. I think he's hilarious. So he could just be famous. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like the way you just said infamous implied to me like, oh, did he do something to like fall out of good standing with the university?
No, not at all. He's just like well known for his oddities. Like the man is like, he has absolutely no capacity to kill a dragon. And so he's just standing in a desert waiting for somebody to come by who he thinks might be able to kill a dragon for him. And all of these people are like hunting and doing terrible things in the Western Approach. And for some reason, they just miraculously leave him alone. And he doesn't want to investigate that. He's just like, yeah, they've been fine. They haven't bothered me. They just stole my stuff. That's it. And he doesn't seem to question that. I feel like that makes him infamous.
I'll accept that.
Okay, so anyway, let's get into it. As you may have learned by that little discussion, his research area is in the wildlife generally of the Western Approach, but primarily he's focusing on the mighty High Dragon, which is why he's in that area in the first place. Now, before you even meet Frederick, you might stumble upon one of the numerous quests he gives you. I think he's the most prolific quest giver in all of Dragon Age Inquisition. These are all of the ones he can give you. Assault on Griffinwing Keep, Draconology, Frederick's Livelihood, How to Lure a Dragon, Hunting Patterns, Sharper White Claws, A Manuscript of Some Authority, Translate the Dragon Text, and The Abyssal High Dragon. That's a lot.
You can go and tell him about all the other dragons you encounter, and he'll tell you about them.
Yeah, he will. He's a wealth of knowledge, a fount of wisdom, if you will. So these quests, as you may have gathered from their names, range from gathering animals to use as bait, taking down mercenaries, gathering his research supplies, and more until you're able, finally, to unlock the fight with the High Dragon in this area. After you kill the High Dragon in Frederick's final quest, you can recruit him to the Inquisition as an agent, though I'm not really sure how that works with his profession under the University of Orlais. Not really sure how that would all work out, but you can recruit him to become part of the Inquisition. Now, the last kind of thing that I have to tell you about Frederick comes from his codex entry, which is a letter to someone named Anton. And it's just interesting. We'll just read it. And it's not from Frederick. It's about Frederick. So this is what it says. Dear Anton, if anyone alive can answer your questions about the social habits of the greater Vimark Wyvern, it is Frederick of Serault, professor of Draconology at the University of Orlais. I have met him a few times, and he is exceedingly knowledgeable about his field of study. Although less knowledgeable about his current state of dress, the day of the week, and the location of his quill and ink. But nonetheless, quite brilliant. Cordially, Magister Zaldarion Antonidas. So, to sum up Frederick of Serault, we know that he's incredibly intelligent and incredibly passionate about his job, but that he's also extremely eccentric and knows almost nothing relating to people and relationships. And that's Frederick of Serault.
I think, like, the Western approach and the Hissing Wastes have the most, like, convoluted and involved way of fighting the high dragons in that area.
Yeah.
Most of the other areas, you just walk up to the high dragon and it's like, hey, let's fight. Nah, you got to lure the abyssal high dragon and you got to do the weird dwarven unmarked quest to find the dragon in the Hissing Waste.
True. And I think at least for the Western approach, not sure as much about the Hissing Wastes, but like in the Western approach, there's nowhere to go that's like hidden in any way. And so I think it would just be really easy to stumble upon a dragon in that area and be super underleveled for it, especially mm-hmm. when everything else in the area already wants to kill you. I could see people getting into a situation where they could not win at all. And they would like be out of potions and just like not in a good situation. And so they probably did that to kind of prevent people from stumbling upon the dragon and being not ready for it.
Probably. That makes sense. But I do like Frederica. Everyone loves an eccentric professor. The Morden Solis for reference. And I just find him funny. And I like encountering him. And I like his quest of like just the general like, hey, these main bandit stole my research notes. Can you get it back?
Yeah, I agree. And I think Frederick of Serault, along with Professor Kenrick and a little bit of the Masked Empire, are really the only places we ever see information about the University of Orlais. And I personally would love to know more about the university system in Thedas, you know, what that all even looks like. What subjects they have. I just really want to know more about that. So Frederick could be a great way to explore it. Personal opinion.
Yeah. I think that would be fun. All right. Any last things you want to
That's say? All I got. That's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you for all this information about these creatures and Frederick.
And a special shout out to our Nung King patron, Lewis H., who gets a special shout out at the end of every episode. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you all for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. You can find us on Twitter at DALorecast.
If you have any lore questions, topics to unpack, or side character suggestions, join our Cups Podcasting and More Discord server. It's easily the best place on the internet. You can also support us financially through our Patreon. You can find us there on patreon.com/DragonAgeLorecast.
The Dragon Age Lorecast is part of the Robots Radio Network. For more information about the Robots Radio Network, join the Discord server via the link in our episode description.
If you enjoyed the show or learned something new today, please subscribe, leave us a review, and join the Patreon. And if you enjoyed our intro and outro music, give a big thank you to Pipe Man Studios. Thank you, Pipe Man. Thanks again for listening to the Dragon Age Lorecast. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ariel.
And we're the hosts of the Legend of Zelda Lorecast, a podcast about all things Legend of Zelda, from Aerol to Zora.
And all the fun things in between.
If you're ready to dive deep and learn more about the Legend of Zelda lore and everything surrounding it, come join us on the Legend of Zelda Lorecast. You can find us on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
We hope to see you soon.